I greet you in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to explain where Reverend Quek is this morning, he says his son, Zaki, was unwell. And the father rose up to the help of the son. And so both are recuperating. Pray for them, please. So surely we miss them. Now to our day's text. Firstly, how good it is to be back in Singapore. I spent my last week at another camp, this time in Genting Highlands, Awana, which hopefully will be our venue for next year's camp. And in case you are thinking, pray also that we'll get the campsite. It's not easy. This time there were 3 camping groups: Galilee Church next door, ourselves, and the Harvester Church. Altogether, nearly 1,000 people. Amazing. So do please pray, plan, and prepare to come next year. It's so good to be camp. As we all realize, camp is the nearest thing to heaven on earth, where we cast aside all our worldly business and focus altogether every day exclusively on the things of the kingdom. How good it was and how blessed for brethren to dwell together in unity for 5-6 days. So that is by way of introduction. Now our study of the book of Colossians comes to chapter 4. Colossians, by the way, the word is Colossians and not Colossians. Better we all understand how to pronounce it correctly. Chapter 4, verse 7. In the verses we shall be reading until the end of the chapter, Paul mentions a number of names, which tells us that he is no single director or kind of sole operator of the gospel. He has a very large team. And this is God's will and God's plan, that every believer consider himself to be member of the team. So that's by way of introduction, dear friends. You may say, I'm just a new believer. New believers, old believers, what does it matter? To the Lord, everyone is important. Everyone is precious. Everyone is useful. So as we read these few verses, may God's Spirit speak to us that Paul, called of God, converted, given that wonderful ministry, brought into his team many others, some of them very good, some not very good, but nevertheless, all in the team are part of God's plan. You are part of God's plan. Verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. In this letter addressed to the Colossian church, please get your bearings correct. Your focus. What are we talking about? This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And now he's talking, nearing the end of his epistle or letter, he's talking of a number of his co-workers. Oh dear friends, for those who are leaders, appreciate those who labor together with you. Appreciate means always to think highly of them, kindly of them, and to say a good word. And here is Paul referring to a man called Tychicus. Funny name, he say. Nevertheless, he is a name of a believer who was precious to Paul. Now I read again. All my state, meaning to say, my condition of life, my status, how I am. Remember, Paul was in prison. And here is an opportunity to send a message through a letter by a man called Tychicus. He will tell you, besides what I've written in this letter, sometimes there are things that are better spoken than written. So this is the idea of referring to Tychicus. He will declare to you my condition. You will want to know surely, how is the apostle doing in the prison in Rome? Surely, every believer, everyone who has any contact with him, everyone who knows about him, right? Like this morning, you want to know how is Reverend Quek at home. Surely, we have a concern. And so, Paul says, Tychicus will tell you my condition. He is a beloved brother. Wonderful. Every co-laborer in the Lord, no matter how poor or how rich, high or low, we are all in the family. And the sooner we realize this, the better. That there is no hierarchy of high ups and low downs. In the family of God, you are regarded as one of us. All of us are fellow servants of the Lord, brothers, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Here we want to focus on the term, actually the title of today's sermon is fellow workers. Our focus today is on those who labor together with pastors, elders, deacons, the session, and who else? All the rest, all of you, more or less. Of course, some hold office in some other ways, in fellowships, Bible study groups. All these are important, and together we form a team. So please remember this, we are not a dictatorship. No one man controls and says what to do in everything, not at all. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ, for he bought us, he paid the price for us, and he calls us unto himself. And all who believe and receive and come to him, you are part of family. And out of this group, there will be those who are able to do this, do that, or the other. And together we come, and the Lord calls us to be part of the team. Are you happy? Some of you have never served in any position. I say, please pray and consider. Our invitation and opportunity to serve has brought in many happy, willing volunteers. And all of you are now part of the team. It gives me the greatest joy to see in the morning coming up here to be welcomed, sometimes by a little child, sometimes by a couple. And I say, well, the team of ushers and greeters and welcomers is increasing, praise the Lord. So this is what we are talking about this morning. Fellow workers also equals fellow servants. Every worker serves the great King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you are in a very special position that God deigns and condescends to have you work with him to advance the kingdom in a way that someone else cannot do, you can do. So come and do it. Verse 8, whom I have sent unto you. Who is this whom? Tychicus. I send him unto you with my letter, for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Also, this man Tychicus, carrying the epistle or letter, will tell you, members of the church at Colossae, he'll tell you about me. Then when he returns, he'll tell me about you. It's so good. Remember, those were days where you do not communicate by e-post, email, or any other way. Today, instant. Communication around the world has been reduced to a matter of seconds. But in those days, you post a letter, may take weeks or months. Yes, to China, may take you a month. In those days, sailing boats. Now come to verse 9. The next name mentioned after Tychicus is Onesimus. Who is this strange sounding name? Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. My dear friends, If you know the history, read 2 Timothy. And he says, this fellow, sorry, this is in Philemon, the book of, some call it Philemon, but better call it Philemon. And this man was his servant, and he deserted, rebelled against the master, and he turned coat and left him. Now, Paul is sending him back to his master. He is now called a faithful and beloved brother. How come? He had been disobedient, rebellious against his master, but now there is a change of heart. Amazing work of the Holy Spirit. So he is called faithful, beloved brother, which can apply to maybe some here. We do not know. You may have been a rebel once, disobedient, and deserted your master, deserted your post, deserted your work, and turned bad. But once the gospel reaches out to you and you realize your shortcoming and confess your sin, as Onesimus did, he has become one of us. So here is a statement of greatest hope to all of us. You may have fallen, may have offended the law somewhere, somehow. Nobody knows, but you know. Coming to the Lord Jesus and confessing your sins, say, Lord, forgive me. I know I have offended the law. Lord Jesus, cleanse me by your precious blood. You are restored. Sins are forgiven. And you are included in the family, so you become precious. How can I be precious? Simply trusting the Lord. Simply coming to Him. Simply confessing, admitting my wrongs. And God will do the right for you. Here it is, Onesimus. He's now called a beloved brother and faithful. How come? All because he has put his faith in the Lord Jesus. If there is anyone here feeling a guilty conscience because you have offended God's law, or maybe offended the law of the country, or maybe the law in your home, and you feel pretty miserable, come. Here is the way. The Lord is ever available. Come and confess your sins, and repent, and turn over, change, forsake your old ways, and walk with the Lord. Then you become faithful, a beloved brother. Who is one of you? They shall make known, verse 9, second part, unto you all the things which are done here. Now, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you. He is a believer. He is a prisoner together with me under the rule of the Roman Caesar. Please realize also that we are talking in terms of time span. This is the part of the Roman Empire. And all the Caesars at that time had put themselves up as gods to be worshipped. And their power was almighty as far as their troops and their military presence was concerned. They were regarded as the almighty God and to be bowed unto and to be worshipped. So Paul and Aristarchus are fellow prisoners. Nevertheless, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you may be in the cage, in the prison. Nevertheless, you are not a prison in your soul. Your soul is free. The body they may kill. God's word and your soul abideth still. So he salutes you. And Marcus, now who is Marcus? Marcus is Mark. Yes. Mark is well known, because he was the subject of a dispute between Paul and Barnabas. Yes. Barnabas' sister had a son called Mark, and he had accompanied them at one of the early missionary journeys, and then he forsook them. So Paul says, once you forsake, you're no good. Next missionary trip, you cannot come with us. Barnabas says, never mind, he's all right. Let's take him along. Two opinions clashed so acutely that Paul and Barnabas separated. because of Mark. Now comes Mark. Listen to what Paul talks about Mark. Barnabas' sister's son, Mark, as touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. How? Paul is reconciled with Mark. Whereas not too long ago, he says, this fellow is no good. I say, dear friends, if there is any young person who has been told you are no good, remember there is always a way back. God can change you. God can restore you. And the one who says you are no good can be changed also by the mighty working power of the Holy Spirit, which worked on this man, Paul. So we see a man can change his mind. And whereas once he thought Mark was useless, now he says he's a good boy, a useful man to be used. Right? Verse 11, and Jesus, which is called justice, because of greater respect for the Lord Jesus, we avoid calling another man Jesus wherever we can avoid it. So this man is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, meaning to say he is a Jew. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Now verse 12, Epaphras is Epaphroditus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We do not hear much of Epaphras, but he is a great and valuable worker in the church, and there may be many Epaphrases in this congregation. I pray that there will be many. What is the meaning of Epaphras? He's a man of prayer. How do we know? Read on. Verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are at Laodicea and in Hierapolis. And he is a man of prayer who labors in prayer fervently. Look at verse 12 again. I want to stress this. So important, a weapon and a means of grace given to all of us. You cannot go to a mission field. You cannot go to do a visitation. But there is one thing that we all can do, no matter who. No matter your education. No matter your status. No matter where you are. No matter what time of day or night. This weapon is the weapon of prayer. And I want to impress on all of us here that as members of the team of God, fellow workers, fellow servants, fellow believers, you and I are given this one great means of grace called prayer. I confess, I don't pray enough. No matter how much time you spend, at the end of it all, you're blessed. And then you realize, not enough. God has much more to give. We receive not because we ask not. We ask and receive not because we ask amiss. So I want to say, please, this morning, if you have not learned anything else, that there is a man called Epaphras. And he's held up as an example. Verse 12. He is one of you, a servant of Christ. How wonderful if somebody can say, who's that fellow? And you say, well, he is a servant of Christ. You are greatly honored. So all of us here, please, coming to church must make a difference in the way you conduct your life, in the way you live, your lifestyle, your interests, your commitments. I say this morning, learn one thing. I will commit myself to my Savior. He died for me to give me hope, which I have. And then He gives me opportunity to serve, which I may squander, because you don't take up the opportunity. But here is one. All of us can do what God has enabled us to do, and that is to pray. This is a means of grace and a great weapon for the weakest saint on his knee at the sight by devil. The devil will flee. Remember this. The devil flees at the sight of the weakest saint upon his knees. So let us all salute the name of Epaphras, recorded here as always laboring fervently for you in prayers. How wonderful. I always thank God whenever members come say, "Hello, we are praying for you." I said, "Thank God. Please pray." And by the way, we just received news. The lawsuit may be held, the court hearing, in July. At first they told us September. Now it is advanced to July. So the date, we will tell you when we know the exact date. But it seems to be dearer. And I told Reverend Quick, when he told me, I said, "Praise the Lord! Sooner the better." You all pray, so that very soon we may all come together for a great thanksgiving, that Lord can deliver us from any kind of hindrance, any kind of snare, and any kind of temptation. So, back to verse 12. Thank God for Epaphras. Will you be an Epaphras? To be a member of the praying team. And you can do this, but please be serious. You can do this at home, anytime. But make it a definite ministry for yourself. To pray for the church, to pray for your family, to pray for the leaders of the church. Now we come to verse 14. Look, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. Luke, we know very well. All of us know him, don't we? Yes, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And what else did he write? Acts of the Apostles. Right, that's Luke. All right, thank God for Luke. And here a word especially to the doctors, physicians in our midst. Every Christian physician has a slight advantage over others, in the sense that while many people will seek you for the distress of the bodies, you can also minister to the distress of the souls. This is the use for Christian doctors. Now, who is this Demas? Well, he is still part of the team, but later on, when you read in 2 Timothy, he deserts and forsakes Paul because of the love of the present world. He's a object lesson to all of us. Don't, for the sake of the love of the present world, you ever give up your Christian heritage here and desert your post and go into the world and get lost and then get recorded here. My friends, our time is nearly up. I want to apply this. All these are examples for us to follow. That if God could use those people, He can use you and me. I thank God for allowing me to serve in Life Church, for a start, 1950. Through all the years until 1969, 1970, then the Lord says, "How about you go into missions, local missions?" At that time, we saw most of our BP churches were concentrated in the central area and in the east. Nothing on the west. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, with Reverend Philip Heng and myself, we went. We prayed. Every Friday we prayed. You see, dear friends, missions is not that you must go far away. But right here, in Jurong, was missions. And the Lord used us. From that day till now, God has multiplied blessings over and over and over again. I say this just because many of you are wondering, what should I do? Answer, pray. Ask the Lord, "Lord, I have a mind to serve you somewhere, but I don't know where." You pray and God will show you in so many wonderful ways. We have experienced this again and again and again. Today you have so many mission fields, and as I look back, I have here a list. While Paul has his list of co-workers, helpers, I have my list. You see, we started off with almost nothing, Prinsep Street, those days, just a few people. By the time we left for Jurong to start Calvary, I had a number of elders, and now I will not embarrass those who are still serving here to talk about you. I will mention those that are absent from here, but how God has used them in ways that will be an encouragement to you. Turn your clock back 30, 40 years, and those people were young people. Today they are established in the ministry connected with Calvary. The first one I mentioned here is Elder Cheng Wenian, the orthopedic surgeon. You say, well, what has he done? I can say, while I minister, a lot of the time it is with deacons, potential deacons, elders, potential elders, and pastors. And through the years, testing and trial will sift out those, the wheat from the chaff. Elder Cheng, we started Jurong. He came along, and he has proved to be the most faithful elder. Bilingual, also a physician. So anyone who has any bone problem, he looks after. And as far as I know, everyone free of charge. So these are things that make the gospel ministry a sweet savor sacrifice unto the Lord. He continues to serve. Old, but faithful. Next one I can think of from the very early days is the name of Daniel Chu. Most of you do not know him. He's now ordained as pastor in Toronto. But why do I mention him? He came up from Kuala Lumpur, was saved through our ministry in Calvary Jurong. And immediately he says, I must get my parents and family saved. So through him, the family were brought to Christ. And then the church started in their house, which eventually became the Calvary Jaya Bible Fellowship. All right, that's the. Is that good? I said, dear friends, if he had not made that move, who knows, today we may not have a Calvary Jaya, which has grown to be a very important gospel link station in the federal capital, Petaling Jaya. And not only that, when he emigrated to Toronto, he carried a lectern and hymn books and chorus books. And when he got there, he says, I must start a family worship. And in no time grew a church. So there is a church there now. Right? Is that important? And when I mentioned Calvary in Canada, you know, from our midst, we have just sent a young person called Jimmy Pang. All of you in the YF will know who he is. You nurtured him. You gave him the opportunity to serve, to train him, and to prepare him for Toronto. That was 3 years ago. Now, in the past year, he has been proven to be the right-hand man for Pastor Daniel Chu. He's leading in Bible study, in worship, in blessing the members, ministering to their needs in ways you do not know. Now, he has even, God has given him a house. Yes. So there are so many others. I will only mention Pastor Pang Kok Hiong. Now, in 15 years, the Lord has used him in Saipan, Guam, now China, all over the China. He goes there 3-4 times a year, whereas originally his plan was to go and do the work in China until Tiananmen. Then he says, not safe. But God opened the back door in Saipan. Now that door has opened to Jordan, to Cyprus. You never know where God is going to lead you, do you? But the first thing is you've got to be obedient. Be ready. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me where you will. Right? Elder Ko Kim Hyang. Ko. Yep. Some of you know him because he's left us now for about 10 years. Where did he go? When we thought of doing a work in Sydney, he says, I volunteer. But before that, he had been training, studying FEBC. So when the time came, he went to Sydney. Now there is a Sydney BP church with about 90 people. Who else? You know, another man is called Boaz Boone. Some of you know him. Yeah. What's so great about him? Nothing. Except he started a home service. He says, let me open my home. I'm in Bukit Panjang. Let people come and have worship. And they grew and grew and grew until they had 70, 80. Then, how about the church? Well, the Lord honored that. Open Tengah Air Base Chapel. How many of you have not been there? You must go there. Because it is the most beautiful campus of all our BP churches in the whole planet Earth. Okay? You must go there. It's got so much ground. And they've improved the place over and over and over and added containers and containers and containers. They are now running about nearly 200 people. So, between Boaz Boone and Elder William Xia, the church is thriving. Isn't that great? And these are our co-laborers. Who else? I think I've exhausted the name, the mentionable names. The rest should not be mentioned because I don't want to embarrass those. We have a great team here, right here in Pandan. A team that is laboring together, striving together for the faith. And this is what we need. It's no use having a team that strives against each other. But here is a team that strives together. Pray for us. Dearly beloved, we are part of the team. You are part of the team. But when all of us pray together, God will do things we never knew before. As we take leave of Paul, know that God had a wonderful plan for a wonderful man. A man who started with zeal to destroy God's church became the greatest man who ever promoted the church of God in all of history. The greatest man. God bless. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, grant that we may all understand the work of God goes on, and the invitation is to all whosoever will. O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart. Some are wondering, some are waiting, but all, Lord, make willing to be used by Thee, to be used at the prayer meeting. For this is the powerhouse. For if we will come and pray, O Lord, move Your people to come to pray. And at the Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, this is where we will receive the blessing of the Lord's Day. To know that the Lord who is coming has given us this wonderful day to prepare us for the eternal Sabbath. O Lord, bless Your people that they will recognize the blessings of God are past all understanding. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.